welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another post from the unofficial station of the Post-Obama Nation on Radio Free America, your first choice for current news and interesting views about the rebirth of America after the end of the Barack Obama presidency, if indeed he ever legally takes the White House. Hello, fellow Americans. It's the 14th day of May in the year of our Lord, 2010. And Barack Obama still has not proven his eligibility to be a candidate for President of the United States. That's funny. Why are they giving him free rides on Air Force One? Today was also day one of the Obama Columbia University trial for treason. Today's events consisted of introducing Judge Unger, who will be presiding over the trial, and of jury selection. People attended this trial from all over the world. The attendees came from as far as Germany, Hawaii, California, Toronto, Texas, Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, just to name a few. One of the attendees was a former mayor of New Mexico. According to this press release, security was very tight. There was a strong police presence, and everyone was thoroughly checked with metal detectors. You never know what an Obama-crazed follower might do. According to this press release, an indictment was quickly handed down by the grand jury, and subpoenas were served to Columbia University and to the Obama administration, according to the testimony given. Evidently, Columbia University tried to refuse the subpoena. But that doesn't really help them, does it? And here is a list of allegations contained in the indictment. 1. That Columbia University and Obama conspired to defraud and commit wire fraud and mail fraud. 2. That Columbia University knowingly concealed the fact that Obama is not a natural-born citizen. 3. That Columbia University aided in obstructing justice. 4. That Obama fraudulently obtained the office of President of the United States, thereby gaining access to sensitive materials posing a danger to national security. However, the prosecution dropped the charges of treason and espionage to avoid complications involved with a death sentence. Here are some quotes from Pastor James David Manning, who led many of his congregation to attend the trial. 1. Obama is a criminal, and we will prove that in this courtroom. 2. Howard Dean, Hillary Clinton, and John McCain helped Obama win the election. Manning stated that a witness will testify that John McCain, quote, took a dive, end quote, in the 2008 election. Remember him saying that you don't have to worry about Obama becoming president? 3. The courts have failed, and they are complicit, along with the media, to cover up Obama's alleged ineligibility. 4. Manning quoted a speech that he made at a Tea Party in June and July 2009, where he stated, quote, we need to pursue Obama on his ineligibility, non-natural-born status, rather than his policies, because health care will pass no matter how much you try to protest it. And finally, that God told me that, quote, our shoes are our weapons, end quote, meaning that we need to march and protest to show them that we will not be silenced. I think we all have to be thankful to Pastor James David Manning and all the other courageous Americans who are lawfully seeking truth and justice in this important trial. Don't you? After all, most of the corporate-owned bootlicking media don't even have the sense to be ashamed of themselves for failing to be a watchdog on the government, which they usually call their primary responsibility, to seek out the truth in these important matters which will affect all of America's future. You heard me right, you limp-wristed, C's-get degrees, burned-out graduates from journalism school. You're failing at your most basic job.
Oh, what's that?
You started out all idealistic, supposedly positioning yourself to be a watchdog on the government. But now look at you. Just another boot-licking slave, seeing what you're told to see, hearing what you're told to hear. And that's all you seem to be able to convey to us. Well, the solution to that is the off switch. After all, there are more than three channels now, and there's the internet.
You as a reporter should be looking after the truth and not looking how to get Barack Obama out of the tight spot. If you, the reporters, would have been doing investigating, reporting, we will bring more lawsuits. If you want to take upon yourself, I'll give you the leads. Do investigative reporting. Your stations have a lot of money. If you help us with funds and investigating reporting, we'll help you, definitely.
Yes, I have to agree with Orly Tates, whom you've just heard addressing the National Press Corps. All you other journalists fell for Obama like a hormone-soaked teenager, duped, mesmerized, and then even taken in by a fake birth certificate less convincing than a $20 bill copied on a Xerox machine. So my advice to the rest of you media is, get over it. Take a shower, clean yourself up, and do your job. Just follow the trial I mentioned earlier at atlah.org, that's ATLAH.org, and you'll be handed Watergate times 500 on a silver platter. For the rest of you, stay tuned to this podcast for future updates of the Obama-Columbia treason and conspiracy trial.
I am James David Manning, senior pastor of the Atlah World Missionary Church in Harlem, New York. Due to the growing threatening circumstances surrounding this trial, I must now release the full transcript we wish to present, document, and prove at the Columbia Obama trial. Obama was recruited in 1980 by the CIA while a student at Occidental College in Los Angeles, California. The CIA needed Muslims who were fluent in Farsi and other Islamic customs and understandings. Obama was perfect as an undercover agent. The CIA then later enlisted Columbia University to extend its foreign student program to Barack Hussein Obama that he might enroll in the universities around Karachi and in Pakistan, and also the Patrice Lumumba School in Moscow. With a perfect cover and the U.S. student identity, Obama became the lead agent in the arms and money supply to the struggling Taliban army against the Soviet war machine. Obama's cover was flawless and his skills as an agent incredible. He was more than integral to the Taliban victory later on that decade. Now, I will be presenting documentation to all that I say here in this announcement. But it is public knowledge that Obama traveled to Pakistan in 1981. We don't know how often he traveled between Pakistan and Russia, or his return to America and back to Pakistan and back to Columbia University off and on during his undercover operation in Afghanistan, training and being a money supply and source and interpreter for the CIA to the Taliban during those war years. The State Department records have been scrubbed, and the State Department employee who scrubbed these records was killed to cover up the passport office break-in in April of 2008. His name was Lieutenant Quarrel Harris, a young African-American who was found shot dead in front of the Judah House of Praise Baptist Church in Northeast Washington, D.C. Obama learned his Islamic language skills while he spent 6 years in Indonesia with his stepfather and mother, Lolo Shatoro. when he returned from his CIA assignment in the mid-80s, he pressured the State Department to allow him to enter Harvard Law School. Except for one thing, he did not have a legitimate background as a citizen or a student from Occidental or Columbia University. A diligent investigation by a personnel agency of a major law firm before hiring Obama would have revealed that he was not a U.S. citizen. And how could a C student go from Occidental College to America's fifth most difficult school to enter into, Columbia University, and then from there, 3 years later, enter into the world's most difficult law school, Harvard Law School? And so what must a former CIA operative do when he cannot pass the personnel test? Obama becomes a community organizer on the south side of Chicago, where no background check was needed. His marriage to Michelle Robinson, a lawyer and connected Chicago politician, albeit a convenient marriage, now gives him citizenship and the beginning of a solid background. He takes a job at the same law firm. When questions were raised during the 2008 campaign for presidency about his Columbia years, he spun those questions and the media by declaring himself to be an ascetic, a monk, even a hermit, going days on end without speaking or interacting with anyone, and he did not live on campus with the regular Columbia College students. Today, Obama is a man who loves the limelight and can hardly tear himself away from any camera that he passes by, wants us to now believe that he was once a monk, a hermit, with no interaction with anyone. Michael Wolff, former MTA chairman and graduate of Columbia, says, and I quote, he remembers Obama as a very, very smart student and a great debater while he was at Columbia, and he was very active in student activities. Now, it appears that Michael Wolff remembers things about Obama that Obama does not remember about himself. Fox News, during the 2008 campaign and questions were raised about Obama's Columbia years, interviewed more than 400 people on campus during the years of 1980 to 1984. Students, nurses, librarians, custodians, people within the environs, shopkeepers alike. And they discovered in their investigation of the 400 people they questioned, not one of the 400 people remembers Barack Hussein Obama during his alleged Columbia years. The Reagan-Bush administration, they all know this about Obama as a CIA operative and his help to win the war there for the Taliban in Afghanistan during the Russian invasion. They just did not expect Obama to win the Iowa caucus. When he won that, there was no way they could assassinate him, remove him from the scene. They had to allow him to march over the Clintons and over John McCain that he might be the president for whatever information he now holds or interaction he holds with the Soviet Union and over the American people as a threat. I will document all of these statements that are not general public knowledge that I have stated today. I'm James David Manning.
Intriguing, isn't it? Our listeners may recall the December 2008 podcast entitled Obama's Mystery Years. It appears James Manning may have found the answers we were looking for back then. Don't forget to tune in for our next exciting podcast, when we'll get up to date with a chronicle of the disastrous failures of the Obama administration, or should I say pseudo-administration, and then we'll chronicle the beginning of the retaking and rebirth of America. Well, my fellow Americans, that's all we have time for today. So until next time, be of good cheer, love one another, and keep your powder dry. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to our RSS feed at postobamanation.blogspot.com, and don't forget to tell your friends. The Post Obama Nation's bumper music is the Siam Blues, courtesy of Robin and Brandon. The Post Obama Nation is not affiliated with the Obama Nation of Desolation or any other news broadcast.